Hello, welcome to your Politics the Weekly podcast from the RTE Leinster House team. Paul Cunningham, Juliette Gash and Sandra Hurley with me this Thursday. Has anyone caught up on their sleep after the past couple of weeks?
Nope, not yet. We are looking forward to the Dáil returning on the 18th, after which we fully expect that the newly elected Ciarán Comhairle, whoever he or she might be, will say, see you all in mid-January. And then we'll be able to pick up some rest. But until then, I think it's highly unlikely.
Let's talk about the Ciarán before we start on the political parties. Seán O'Farrell, obviously the outgoing Ciarán Comhairle, keeps his seat because that's what happens when you're the Ciarán Comhairle. You don't have to stand for re-election. You were too busy on parliamentary duties for constituency work. Had been thought, and he had ruled himself out, hadn't he?
Yes, he ruled himself out before the election. He said that he wouldn't want a third term as Ciarán Comhairle. But it seems over the last 2 days, he has been ringing around everybody trying to get support to be nominated again, because it is a secret vote and not everything necessarily goes to plan in a secret vote. But
so when somebody says something on the phone to you, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen.
But they might not follow through. And that's what happened with the last Ciarán Comhairle last time around. Fergus O'Dowd thought he was getting it in Fine Gael. Instead, people voted for the independent Catherine Connolly. But in relation to Seán O'Farrell, it seems it's not going down terribly well among some in Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and in the opposition. And also this suggestion that he might not do the full 5 years. Apparently he's suggesting that he might only do a few years. So it doesn't look like it's definitely a runner at this point.
Catherine Connolly's ruled herself out, hasn't she?
Yes, she has.
I mean, she did a great job, but obviously
I think it is a difficulty
elsewhere.
To be last Ciarán Comhairle judging people and then saying, hold on a second, taking off your wig and then heading down into the the stalls and having a go at it. I think I mirror what Sandra's saying with regard to Seán O'Farrell. It doesn't seem like a coherent argument. I know that he was offering continuity, and when you've got this bigger Dáil with 14 more TDs, that might work. But just my general soundings were that it was a new Dáil and they were thinking about a new person.
So that is one issue that will be resolved on the 18th, we presume.
If
not before. You have to wait until the votes are in. You can't trust them all.
True.
But then I really doubt, do any of you think we're going to have a resolution on the issue of whether we're going to have a new government by the 18th?
No.
You're all
no
shaking
chance.
Your heads.
I didn't get the line of, it would be lovely if we could have a government before Christmas. And the big subtext is, but, I think it's going to be the but.
I think that was something that Micheál Martin indicated. And it was he went further than we expected. He was speaking in Farmley with the erudite Northern Ireland Secretary Hilary Benn. And they were having East-West negotiations, talking about how Ireland and the UK were going to have a reset without being quite clear just what that might mean. But speaking of Scalga, Micheál Martin went on to say that the bulk of the work could be done before Christmas, but that it wouldn't be done and it would be into the new year. So following on from that, Fine Gael sources saying that they agreed with it. And there has been this sense of things going to move more quickly than we expected. So my gut feeling is that January. I guess what it really depends on is at some point, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have to decide, are they going left and moving towards the Social Democrats or Labour, or are they going right more towards the independents? And if they move right, then that deal can be done more quickly.
So an awful lot of talking about talking. So let's go through each of the parties one by one and where they're at and what they're looking for. Starting with Fianna Fáil, starting with Micheál Martin, the man who looks likely to be the next Taoiseach. And if you think of where he's come between 2011, when an awful lot of people, I remember people who used to work for Fianna Fáil telling me the party was over. It was finished, it was gone. It was
as in the good. Political party, not the party.
Exactly. Yeah. And he was, the man. How many times did he answer the question about the Fianna Fáil leader who will never be Taoiseach? And here he is, and he may well have another go at it again now.
Yeah, I mean, it's odds on that this will be this two-time Taoiseach, Micheál Martin. Everything points to that direction. He is 9 or 10 seats ahead, depending if the Ciarán Comhairle is Fianna Fáil's or not. And he's got an air about him that he knows that this is going to be good. And why not? Fianna Fáil is the lead party. They are going to have the lion's share of whatever is going, and they will, to a certain extent, dictate who's going to be in government with them. So Micheál Martin is already, as we understand it now, in Edinburgh. And so it's already beginning to look as if he is the Taoiseach, even though he hasn't been voted in yet.
Simon Harris, of course, still the Taoiseach. And we're hearing an awful lot, aren't we, Sandra, about parity of esteem from Fine Gael. It's very important,
what
despite the fact.
Mean, Sandra?
Yes, well, a lot of markers are being laid down. We haven't got down to any substantive talks yet. It's all kind of shadow boxing at the moment. But Fine Gael very keen to emphasise parity of esteem, which is what Leo Varadkar brought to the table the last time. What does that mean? Well, they want equality. They want a rotating Taoiseach, ideally for the same amount of time for each party, mm-hmm. and they want an exact split on the jobs. And I can tell you that a lot of the politicians in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are thinking about the fact that there's likely to be more ministerial positions going around this time, because if they're not in with a smaller party, now that's not definite yet, but if they're not in with a party like the Greens, they won't have to hand over as many jobs. Simon Harris making it very clear that he doesn't want a sort of diminution of Fine Gael's role in government. He wants it absolutely split down the line. I don't think we're going to get any change on the rotating Taoiseach, but maybe on the jobs or something else. Micheál Martin has been out saying he really feels that their significant wins in the election should be reflected in the composition of government, and it's pretty clear what he means when he says that.
What does he mean?
He wants something to bring back to the party. The yeah. party want something extra. What is that exactly? There's a few things, as I mentioned, that it could relate to, but it's not clear yet what that will be.
Justice portfolio, disability issues.
Well, there's already a row about justice. I mean, it is clear, Fianna Fáil made it clear during the campaign that they wanted justice. A lot of the justice spokespeople, James Brown, Jim O'Callaghan, really took aim at Helen McEntee, the minister, during the campaign. They want justice, but if Fine Gael gives them justice, some Fine Gael feel that that would be a capitulation. It would be an admission that mm-hmm. things went wrong for them in justice. So there will be a tussle over that as well.
Juliet, you've been talking to the Social Democrats and they've been having talks with the other parties. And still, though, the question, do they really, really, really want to go into government?
They say they do. They say they're ready to govern. They have their red line issues, 50,000 social and affordable homes, a senior disability minister among their red lines. They say they want to, but they're also in a good position now to form a stronger left-leaning opposition. And is that going to be the case? You know, they've got their 11 TDs, as do Labour. And alongside Sinn Féin, that would be a pretty powerful opposition. Now, I did speak to a Labour TD who also spoke of parity of esteem. Now, I don't know, with 11 versus 49, does that really work? But they would also like the respect. And I suppose mm-hmm. other names that have been mentioned that could be keen or very well qualified for the justice portfolio would be Ivana Bacek in Labour. So whether it would ever go to that much more junior party is
indeed. Alan
though.
Kelly was the person who launched the Labour Party's justice platform. So maybe Alan Kelly, the Tipperary TD, might also be someone.
A lot of people want that job.
yes, and Ivana Bacek, the Labour leader, talking about the range of views in her party. We know from Alan Kelly at the start of the campaign, making it clear to the Nina Gardian, he wanted to be a minister again. So that's one view. On the other hand, we heard Marie Sherlock, the newly elected TD in Dublin Central, for the Labour Party, on with Katie Hannan on Monday night and talking very much against it. So quite a debate, quite a spectrum of views there in Labour. It'll be interesting to watch that one play out.
But they're not saying that there isn't. And they know, because another person is the MEP, Eoin Reardon, who said Labour would need to have its head examined. I was talking to one senior Labour Party sort of behind the scenes person. They said under no circumstances whatsoever could or should Labour go into government with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, insofar as that this general election 2024 had been for the first time since 2016 that toxicity had not been associated with the party. One of the consequences of both the Social Democrats and Labour doing well, I think, is not just posed a question not just for the government and having that challenge, but is also for Sinn Féin. If it is the case that the centre-left is getting bigger under those two parties, does that mean there could be a diminution of support for Sinn Féin? Could it be hemmed in on that front as well? Mm-hmm. So that'll be one of the things to watch over the course of the next oil.
And for Labour, they had such a great election. I think it was really important for them to get new blood in. So the victory of Marie Sherlock over Gerry the Monk Hutch in Dublin Central was really important. But also Eoin Kenny in Cork North Central, that was a real long shot. He was based in Mallow. Mallow was the base of Sean Sherlock yeah. in Cork East, which was lost. They put a lot of resources into that. They ran two people, but to get one over the line was really important. Also psychologically important for them to have the same number of TDs as the Social Democrats. They do not want to give ground to them. Speaking to some people in Labour today.
Name names.
They are going through How would you put it? They will be talking to the Social Democrats and other left parties, the remainder of the Green Party, which is one TD. There's probably not a huge expectation that they're going to move forward in concert.
I mean, what's the point of that at this stage? Because you can't, the numbers aren't there for an alternative government. Are they going to talk about, you know, some kind of opposition alliance for the...
A left-wing negotiating bloc, according to Ivana Bacik. But I think others feel that even if it doesn't come together, they said they would do it, therefore, to the membership... particularly, they have to show that they are going through these motions, even though probably won't amount to much. And then separately, then they would have to talk to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and see where does that go with all the dangers and the perils inherent in that.
You've been writing about the independents as well, Sandra.
Yes, so 16 independents. Everybody's looking around to see who might go into government. A lot of people putting their hands up and saying that they would be available. But my understanding is really from talking to people, there's only five or six who are probably really in play, people who've already supported government. So you're talking Sean Canney, Marion Harkin, Noel Grealish, Michael Lowry, Barry Heenan, possibly, but he is a new quantity.
Boxer,
Kevin Boxer Moran. And out of the regional group, Verona Murphy, less likely, still some bad blood there with Fine Gael. And the last person is Gillian Toole, who's associated. She is ex-Fine Gael. She's associated with the Senator Sharon Keoghan in Meath East, so probably less likely as well. So some people have put it to me that when you look at those numbers, the possible five to six, and Noel Grealish and Michael Lowry could stay outside and support the government from outside, which would be fine. They would be very reliable. But they're not an enormous negotiating bloc. And that's why some feel, perhaps in Labour, that it's not quite the case that they don't have leverage. It has been suggested that they don't have leverage because the government doesn't need many people. But we know that the government needs to get well into the 90s to have a secure...
94 was the number Bertie Ahern
said
you'd need.
You need a secure majority. You need to deal with the expected attrition that will happen over the course of the government.
What about Independent Ireland and Aontú? Has anyone come wooing them?
Well, Independent Ireland have said they want to go in. They point to their policy platform. Michael Fitzmaurice has been on many radio and TV programmes saying just that. But there seems to be a scepticism within Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael about their durability.
Where does all of this leave Sinn Féin?
I think Sinn Féin are... it's one of this... It's like the Mona Lisa. It depends which side of the painting you're looking at. If you're looking at it from the perspective of a party which a year and a half ago was in the mid-30s bouncing along and looked as if it was on its way to government, then this has been a disaster. If you look at it when they had a precipitous decline over the previous 12 months to actually come back in the shape they have, and second place, as Mary Lou McDonald likes to remind Fine Gael, in second place as the second largest party, then it's been not so bad.
One seat more.
And they have had some successes, like in Waterford and Dublin South Central, where they managed to capitalise by running two or three candidates and coming through. So the party, I think, is still just trying to adjust to where it is. The first thing they're doing is they're accepting that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are about to form the government. And as Mary Lou McDonald said, we're coming at you. But I think there are a number of questions for them. And they didn't do as well as they should in some constituencies. They were saved by there being 43 rather than 39 constituencies. And they are going to have to contend with this rise in the centre-left. So I think there are issues for the party internally, and they're going to have to sort a few of them out. Even if it is the case that the far right and the appeal of it seems to have worn off, it wouldn't take much for it to come back again. So I think they're happy with the way it turned out, but not necessarily happy about what faces them another 5 years on the back benches.
But their dilemma is they need a route to power.
Yes.
And for instance, even if Fianna Fáil at this stage, you know, went back on everything they had said before and said, OK, we'll talk to Sinn Féin and we'll put together a government with them, the likelihood would be an exodus of TDs and members to Fine Gael. So they need to build an alliance with those centre-left parties. So the question for them in this, Doyle, is are they in competition with them, or are they trying to build an alternative government so that voters would see a real choice whenever the next election
is? And that's exactly it, because many people, one of the reasons, and we don't have the data on it just yet, but there was a low turnout. Was it due to the fact, let's ask a question rather than make a statement, was it due to the fact that Sinn Féin hadn't led from the front? And on that basis didn't reach out to the others, and it was only the last few days, you know, there was some idea of a vote left alliance. Over the course of the next 5 years, Sinn Féin and the two centre-left parties, if it is the case that the Social Democrats and Labour stay out, it's going to be fascinating because they are in competition. And yet at the same time, there is that golden opportunity, the first time We might mm-hmm. have a government which doesn't have Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. So it'll be really fascinating on the one hand how they fight between each other and yet at the same time maybe work together and see opportunities in that.
So it seems certain that it will be Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael here, and that's bucking the trend of incumbent governments being kicked out that we've seen right across the world. And I suppose, could Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael be forgiven for a little bit of smugness when they watch the German government collapsing and slowly crawling towards an election? And looking at what's going on in France, Juliet,
it's absolutely, I know,
a bit bizarre.
A bit bizarre indeed, yeah. I mean, you've got the, like, as you said, you pointed out, Germany is going to have their election next year. It was a bit of a shock for the Germans when that crumbled so quickly. And then, it was a shock to no one when the French Parliament crumbled so quickly. Michel Barnier has been asked to stay on as a caretaker prime minister by Emmanuel Macron, the president. For how long, that's the big question. It took 3 months, I think, to select Michel Barnier. And even then, he was parachuted in as a nominee, meant to be the great uniter. And having done mm-hmm. some serious negotiating in his time as chief Brexit negotiator, he was seen as a good position. But no, he didn't survive the vote of no confidence. And he's gone, shortest ever modern French prime minister. So where is Macron going to choose his prime minister, his next prime minister from? That's the big question. If he chooses another centrist, then you would imagine mm-hmm. that the far left and the far right aren't going to support that person either.
Just going back to that smugness point, though, I was talking to one person who was part of one of those two parties who would go to council meetings in Brussels, and they did say, you know, we'll be back, but you wouldn't know who's coming through the door from some of the countries that are there.
And it's particularly embarrassing for Macron, because there he is and he's going to be hosting all these world leaders, including yeah. Donald Trump. Trump.
That was very good. Say that again.
Donald Trump.
It's my Peter Sellers.
Very good.
Yeah, so, and that's going to be well for him
to watch. And for a man who does like to have the sort of Sun King vibe, Jupiter, as they mocked him as, you know, on Saturday, he's going to have world leaders there for the reopening of Notre Dame after 5 years painstaking.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it does look absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Refurbishment was the word I was looking for. But yeah, I mean, that's the last thing he needs is to have another about-to-collapse government.
Well, if Mr. Trump takes pity on him, he could always offer to buy Notre Dame. Isn't he offering to take Canada into the USA
to
avoid the tariffs?
Yeah, trying to buy Greenland.
Yeah, you can always buy it. Okay, we'll be back with you next week. Talk soon. Bye.